People who make it, sell it. People who use it, don't know they're using it. And people who buy it, don't want to buy it. Let me say that one more time, see if you can figure it out. People who make it, sell it. People who use it, don't know they're using it. And people that buy it, don't want to buy it. Any idea what that is? A coffin. People who make it, sell it. People who use it, don't know they're using it. And people who buy it, don't want to buy it. When we think about death, this is what we often think about. When we think about the idea of dying, and many of us, perhaps as you get older, you begin to think more about your final arrangements. When my parents were here a few weeks ago, we had the conversation, the serious conversation, because I wanted to know what their plans were later in life as those things unfortunately are going to happen, because the Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. You see, this isn't something we want to think about, but unfortunately, it is what it is. But let me ask you this question. If you were to think of a motto for Christianity, what would it be? If you were to sum up something as far as a catchphrase, really, what would that catchphrase be for Christianity? How about come and die? You see, when you think about it from that standpoint, that requires something. There's really an invitation if you think about it, and that's what Jesus is giving us as an invitation in Luke chapter 9. When he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. What Jesus is giving us here is an invitation to die. But when we think about death, it's quick and easy for us to think about the physical concept of what death is, but really what we have to do is to die to ourselves. Sometimes that's hard for us to fathom and imagine and consider and understand, because what that means is giving up who we are for the cause of who Christ is. Because it becomes a selfless act rather than a selfish act. And to follow Christ, it means we have to be selfless. We are no longer concerned with who we are, but rather to have the mind of Christ, Philippians 2 and verse 5. We are to think like Christ. We are to act like Christ. Yet what Christ tells us, if you're wanting to follow me, you've got to be willing to die to the person who you used to be and to become a new man in me. Romans 6, 3 and 4 says, we are buried with Christ in baptism, where we are raised to walk in newness of life, where we become this new individual, where the old man dies and the new man comes to birth. So if we want to be part of the body of Christ, it means we have to die to ourselves. It means we have to be willing to sacrifice many, many, many things perhaps we don't want to give up. It means we've got to be willing to turn away perhaps from people that keep us from the cause of Christ. Maybe they're in your family or where you work or whatever the cause might be. You see, to follow Jesus means we must be humble. Philippians 2 verses 4 through 8 tells us to have that mind of Christ is what it means to be humble in Christ. Because when you think about the concept, there is nothing when you think about prideful in a Christian. Because really the definition does not go hand in hand. A Christian is geared and supposed to be humble in their service to God because they're not thinking about themselves. It also requires, as Philippians 1:29 says, that we suffer for the sake of Christ. But oftentimes, the world thinks of suffering as having to get up a little early on Sunday morning for church. Maybe having to get dressed up or coming back twice on Sunday. You see, sometimes that's the world's definition of what it means to suffer for Christ. But brethren, that has nothing to do with suffering. Suffering means giving of our means, ourselves, our time, of who we are in relation to what we're serving in the greater cause and what it means to follow Jesus. When you think about it, what it means to die in Christ is that dead people aren't concerned what the world thinks of them. Because we are dead to the world, are we not? But we're alive in Christ, and that's the way the world should see us. But we're not concerned with what the world thinks and what the world's opinion are of us, because there are some things we must do to have an invitation to die, of which Christ is calling us to do on a daily basis. But so many people deny the invitation of which Christ is knocking and standing at the door waiting for us to open it. But so many people deny and ignore the invitation of which Christ is giving. You see, if we want to truly serve God, if we really want to be a child of God, if we really truly want to be a member of the Church of Christ, then God is giving us an invitation to die. The Bible tells us we are to bear one another's burdens. We look out for everybody else but self, because it's no longer about us. You see, do you think this is extreme? You should, because it is. Because when you think about what you're leaving behind, the life of comfort, the ease of the world, and the wide road to judgment, that's the easy way. But the difficult way is that we have to have this invitation of which God is giving us. And when we understand the way the world views the cross, they don't understand. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." The way the world views the cross is not the way that we view the cross. Many times people view the cross simply as something you wear around your neck to say you might have devotion, to show you might have devotion. But you see, it's not about jewelry. It's not about simply saying who you are as a Christian. It's about showing who you are as a Christian. And when Christ invited you to die, and if you're already a member of the body of Christ, if you accepted Christ for who He is and what He's done for you, if you've been willing to repent of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and as you are willing to confess Him before man and God Himself, Jesus said the final step is you've got to be willing to put the old man to death. Again, Romans 6, 3 and 4 and 1 Peter 3:21. And when we're willing to do that, when we are coming as a new creature out of that grave, we tell Christ, "I'm no longer concerned with me." And that's where we struggle. So today I want to talk about, in relation to an invitation to die, what it means to follow Jesus. And you see, for us to follow Jesus means following Him wherever He goes. So let's go back to Luke chapter 9 here for just a moment, as was read for us by Derwin earlier, beginning in verse 57. And we have three individuals of which Christ is going to come into contact with. Three individuals of which are all going to give excuses as to why they don't want to follow Christ. Again, these are excuses. These are given in reference as to say, "I don't have time right now. I've got more important things that I need to do rather than following you, God." So ask yourself as we go through these particular accounts if any of these perhaps are you. Notice verse 57, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." Kind of sounds like the rich young ruler, right? "Lord, tell me what I've got to do to inherit eternal life." Well, God said you've got to be willing to give up yourself, your time, but you've got to be willing to give up all of your possessions. But remember, he already kind of bragged on himself prior to that. He said, "Lord, I've given up all of these things. I give to the poor. I'm really a good person." But he said, "But give up all of your treasures and follow me." But it says the young man went away, what? Sorrowful. Because he wasn't willing to really follow God everywhere. The first man says, "I will follow you wherever you go." Verse 58, Jesus said, "Okay, if that's the case. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay His head. I am homeless at this moment." You see, in essence, I'm homeless. Are you willing to give up the security of your house and your possessions for me? You see, it's easy for us to say we're willing to serve and follow. But when it's required of our effort, our time, and what we're willing to give, as our elders have been talking about on Wednesday, the idea of what stewardship is simply the realm of responsibility of that which God has given to us to keep. So when you think about what we're responsible for and what God is giving us to hold on to, what are we willing to give up to make ourselves uncomfortable that somebody else might be comfortable? And see, this individual said when he was going to follow Jesus, this isn't being poetic. This isn't simply lip service of which we're going to give God. If you told Jesus wherever, where would He point? If you said, "God, I'm willing to follow you wherever you go," where would He point and would you be willing to go in that direction? You see, that's stepping outside of our comfort zones. And when God points the way and says, "This is the way," are we willing to truly go that way? You see, He gives two directional emphases in Matthew chapter 7, does He not? Verse 13 and 14. He said, "There's the way, but that's not easy. Here's another way, but that's really easy and everybody takes that way." But see, if Jesus only pointed the one way, is that what you would be willing to give up and follow? The question is, where is it difficult for you to follow Him in life? Because that's really, truly the essence of what it means to die to self, giving the invitation to die. It means that you're willing to follow Him even when you don't want to follow Him. And there's times when we don't want to follow Him, right? Maybe your home. Do you leave your cross on the front porch? Does your home meet the expectations of what the Bible tells us they should be? Ephesians chapter 5, 22 and 20, or 33. What about your career? Do you leave your cross in the car when you go into work on Monday morning? Or are you willing to take your cross with you, even when those that are gathering around the soup cooler, so to speak? You see, are we willing to take our cross wherever God desires us to carry it? Because this is an invitation to die to our old self. What about your church? Do you have relationship problems with somebody in the church of which you're at odds with? Or do you simply leave your cross in the car as you come in because you don't want to deal with it? Even though Matthew 18 clearly defines the concept of what it means to deal with those problems, sometimes it's easier for us just to ignore the problems. But if we're truly going to follow God, and if we're truly going to die to ourselves and carry the cross, when you think about that picture there, that's not an easy burden to bear. That's a heavy load that we have to carry sometimes. Because I can't take the easy way anymore. What about your hobby? When your friends are out, what about when you're alone? Jesus said when he asked to follow him outside of his comfort zone, saying yes to Jesus means saying no to comfort. So when I follow Jesus, am I truly willing to follow Jesus anywhere that he goes? Because that's what I've got to ask myself with the invitation to die. You see, following Jesus also means following him at all times. You see, we're going to be pressured and criticized and mocked and unfairly treated as Christians. That's life. But are we willing when we follow Jesus means we follow him no matter what, no matter when, and no matter where? The second man said, "Let me first go and bury my father," in verse 59. And he said unto another, "Follow me," but he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." And Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." You think Jesus was being unfair or unkind or even kind of hard on him? I mean, after all, some theologians suggest that the man's father wasn't even dead yet, but he was on the brink of dying and he was preparing his funeral and getting all the things in order. And others suggest that he had in fact died. Either way the case is, Jesus is saying there's a priority that's sometimes difficult to follow, but he says, let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. You see, that's what Jesus was wanting him to understand. It's not that Jesus is not concerned with the familial aspect of what it means to be a Christian. Jesus is saying there's something that's more important. Remember, Jesus said, I've got to be more important than father and mother and brother and sister, anybody. I've got to be the first and foremost in your life. And if that's the case, are you willing to follow me at all times? But for some reason, he wanted to go and tell perhaps his father had died. But Jesus said that can't be the case. Some people know that they are lukewarm Christians. They know by the way they act, by the way they walk, by the way they talk, and how they commit themselves to Christ. It's evident, and they know it. Maybe perhaps individuals aren't proud of it, but you know if you're lukewarm or not. You know if you're an average person. Revelation 3:16, Jesus says, I'm not too fond of those that are lukewarm in my service. Jesus said, so much the case is you make me sick to my stomach if you're lukewarm in my service. So Jesus said, if you're going to follow me everywhere, you've got to follow me at all times. And Jesus' reply in verse 60 was, let the spiritually dead go bury those that are physically dead. Because to them it's not a concern anyway. Hebrews 3:15 says, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts unto rebellion. Sometimes when we're asked to do difficult things in our service, the first thing we do is cringe and say, man, that's a lot for me to do. I just don't know if I'm willing to give of myself, my time, and my means, because that means giving all of who I am. And brethren, if we're really honest with ourselves, we can be really selfish people. Can't we? Sure we can. Because it concerns us. And to us, we're important, believe it or not. Every time you look in the mirror, you're important. But when we look in the mirror and what we reflect, what we should see is Jesus. Because then it's no longer about how important we are, but rather how important Christ is to us. You see, the time to follow Jesus is today. But many people will give an excuse like this man did in relation to burying his family, and he's going to say, I can't do it today. You see, tomorrow I'm going to start being benevolent and giving as I should in the church, but I can't do it today. Or tomorrow I'm going to introduce myself to my neighbor and tell them that I'm a Christian, but I can't do it today because, well, they're not home and I don't even know if they're home or not. Or tomorrow, you know, I'm going to make sure that all of those things in my life are right with God. Brother, you know what that's called? That's called snooze button theology. You see, because when the alarm goes off, it's easy for us to hit the snooze button and say, 5 more minutes, right? Snooze button goes off again. 7 more minutes now. Maybe it adds 2 more minutes like some clocks do. Now I've got 9 more minutes. You know, I can keep hitting that snooze button in my life as a Christian and try to add more and more time, but one day, brethren, we're going to hit the clock and it's going to be out of time. You see, there's no such thing as snooze button theology. The Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. Today we've got to act because we're not promised tomorrow, James 4 and verse 14, right? That life is but a vapor, appears for just a short amount of time and then vanishes away. And James says, but what is your life? Telling us that our life is a vapor and how quickly that goes, but are we willing to follow Him everywhere and are we willing to follow Him at all times? But it also means, concerning our invitation to die, means following Jesus, means giving up everything. The third man said, let me first go and say farewell to those at home. Look at verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow Thee, but, underline that, but, let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Jewish tradition at that time was if somebody was going to be taking a long trip, they would have several different days of festivities and gatherings and getting together. So they would take their time. Sometimes they might be leaving 3 or 4 weeks, but they would have 6 or 7 get-togethers of eating and having a good time. So what he says, first, let me go say goodbye and have all of these festivities for myself so my family can say goodbye to me before I do this for you. You see the transitional element there, but a lot of us say in our Christianity, yes, but there's one more thing I've got to do, Lord. How many times I've heard people say, Larry, yes, I'm going to get right, but I've got one more thing I need to fix. One more day I've got to do this. One more time I need to do this. But unfortunately, sometimes that runs out. Jesus said the time is now if you're willing to follow me. If Jesus told you He wanted you to follow Him, what would you be willing to give up? Would you be willing to give up your pride? Your gossip? Your time? Better yet, would you be willing to give up your money for the cause of Christ? Because when Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you've got to be willing to give up everything that used to be who you are. What about your career? Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for else he will cling to the one and despise the other, or love the one and hate the other. Man cannot serve God and mammon or money together. There has to be a choice that we make. And when we become Christians, guess what, brethren? We make a choice. We make a selfless choice to follow the ultimate being, that being Christ, for what He gave in sacrificing for us. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of those things are going to be added unto us. Giving Jesus everything means giving Him all of us. Giving anything less than 100% is just like giving Him 0%. So what are we willing to give up for the cause of Christ? Are you willing to go anywhere, everywhere, anytime, at whatever cost? Because you see, following Jesus is a sacrifice. But first it means we've got to look inwardly at ourselves and really truly ask the hard question of what's keeping me back from obeying the gospel. You see, perhaps somebody is sitting here today asking themselves that very question. There's one more thing I need to do. I've got to fix that one more relationship with that friend or family member before I can make things right. But what if you don't get that chance? What if that chance never happens? What if that chance never comes, and then you lose your chance at eternity? Do you want to hear, depart from me, for I never knew you, you that work sin or iniquity? But Lord, I just needed a little more time. 5 more minutes, maybe. That's what the snooze button gives us. 5 more minutes, Lord, that's all I ask. God says, not going to happen. Because we don't know what tomorrow brings and how quickly it passes by. So one more question for you today. When you think about dying spiritually, is your life in order, spiritually speaking? You see, if you're not a child of God, if you've never put on Christ in baptism, then you're in disarray. And you really don't know which way you're going at this moment, but maybe you're giving yourself the same excuses that these three individuals were saying. Just a little more time, Lord. Let me go take care of this first. Or I'm not willing to give of all of those things that are mine to you to take care of you and lose my possessions. And I've got other folks that need me a little bit more than you right now, so let me do all of these things. Maybe you're asking or saying to yourself one of those questions. But what if you leave here today, and that's a big what if, and we never see you again? What if you leave here today and today is your last breath? You see, we don't know that that's not going to happen, do we? You see, we don't have a clock with our final date and time on it. Not that we know of. The Lord knows everything. But what I know is that the Lord says you can rest assured that when that time does come, that it's appointed unto man once to die, that you can be prepared. See, the great thing about the gospel is it says that we can rest assured, that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're saved. So today, that can be your assurance. We often sing the song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. There's a reason we sing that song, because it is our assurance. So today, if you have not put on Christ in baptism, whatever the excuse is, it's not good enough. You don't need more time. You don't need another snooze button. You don't need 5 more minutes. You need Jesus. And you need Him today. If you're ready to repent, to take the step, to put on Christ in baptism, and willing to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior who died for you, to die in that watery grave of baptism as an old man being raised as a new creature, a new spirit, a new person, then today you're ready to follow Him, laying aside all excuses. And if you're here today as a child of God who's maybe making one of these excuses in your service to Him, maybe you're saying to yourself, I've got more time, I'll take care of that tomorrow. Maybe you hope you have more time, but you're not guaranteed. So if we can help you, if we can encourage you, please do so as together we stand and as we sing.